to the Pregnancy Without Fear podcast. These podcasts are here to help you minimize your fear of childbirth. Too many women go through pregnancy being worried, anxious, or fearful. Well, I'll be sharing tips with you so you can have the mind of knowing. Did you know that fear is about not knowing? When you know, fear is minimized. It then means you can enjoy your pregnancy, looking forward to your childbirth experience. You are listening to Pregnancy Without Fear podcast with Delia Muhammad. Hi everyone, thank you once again for joining us on another podcast, a Pregnancy Without Fear podcast that has loads and loads of individuals that are fantastic in their works, their skill, their knowledge. And we actually have a fantastic duo. Yeah, I'm going to call them duo. I've just found out that their company, their organization, their corporation is called Finally Pregnant. And what they do is they have classes for pregnant ones. They have classes for mothers or women, I would say, in general, who may have I always seem to forget when it comes to podcasting how to talk, you know, but I don't care because I think it's fun talking this way. But we have a mother who had infertility issues, but she's now a mother. And we have a mother who had, she's a midwife, she's a Pilates teacher. She also, I think, had issues with her, with conception. She's now a mother. So it makes it just beautiful to know that we've got two mothers who are in their fields of exercising, counseling, health, and now they're together doing something called Finally Pregnant that helps all pregnant ones to be able to share things with them, discuss things with them, and feel empowered enough to be able to say, do you know what? I need your support. I need your help. And guess what? Their classes are online, which is really beautiful because it means then no one has to go out thinking about, oh my God, I've got to wear a mask. I've got to be social distancing. So it does make it much more nicer and pleasant to know that this is actually existing for you. And I would like to bring them in now and let them introduce themselves to you, because I think it's something that is well worth listening to. And I know that at some point it's going to go international. Yes, it will. It will, if it hasn't gone international already. So Kat, Nikki, you're here and I'm just so happy to have you on the podcast. I really am. I'm a mad woman right now. Absolutely.
Oh, it's a pleasure to have for us to be here. So thank you so much for having us.
Not at all. Please share who you are, what you do. I know I've said it already, but I think once you say it, it makes it that much more clearer for everyone to understand. So, Nikki.
Kat starts because then I'll kind of, you can stop.
Yeah, you sure? Okay, definitely. Right. So my name is Kat Strawbridge, and I, as Delia mentioned, am very, very lucky to be a mother of my daughter, Ren, who's 2.5. It took 7 long years of fertility treatment, and sadly we experienced recurrent pregnancy loss during that time as well, to finally bring her home. I have an Instagram, Trying Years, and I did speak out during my fertility journey about our experiences. And when I got pregnant, lots of people came to me and said, you know, where's the support for this part of your pregnancy? Because when we're trying, not all, but you know, one of the things that we really want, the milestone, is seeing those two lines on the pregnancy test. And you kind of just think that far. And then when you get there, then you have the concern and the worry about, is this baby going to stay? And you know, especially if you've experienced loss before, and it's a really anxious time. But lots of people look at you and think, well, you're fixed. you know, you're pregnant now, like you've got nothing to worry about, but actually you are so excited and like so happy, but also absolutely petrified that something's going to go wrong. So it is really like hugely anxiety inducing. And so lots of people came to me from the trying to conceive community and said, like, where's the support for this stage of our journeys? And I looked, and at the time, and that was in 2018-19, I couldn't find any. And so I created the Finally Pregnant podcast. Mm. And on that, I've had 5 series now of the podcast. And I share stories from people who are finally pregnant and parenting after infertility and or loss. And we cover lots and lots of different experiences. And then during lockdown, I launched a membership called The Hangout, where people can join if they are finally pregnant or parenting. And I run support groups, and we have a community that anyone can ask questions. And I've got a specialist kind of podcast, The Hangout Sessions, in there, where we speak to experts across pregnancy right. and parenting. And then in July 2020, so still in lockdown, when I was pregnant, I went to pregnancy yoga, which was like the epitome of being pregnant. Like I that was something that I had so looked forward to during my trying to conceive journey. And I went, and it was wonderful. And it was so special to have that hour a week where I was just with me and my bump. And I put it off longer than I needed to, I suppose, because I was worried about jinxing anything. Right. And the people were lovely, but I did feel like the fertile in the room. You know, and to be honest, I didn't talk to anyone, or, you know, everyone, should I say. So it might have been other people have been through journeys to get there. It was my own kind of paranoia, I guess, because of my journey. And so in July 2020, I got together with an amazing yoga teacher, Sim, and we created the Finally Pregnant Yoga Sessions. So they are pregnancy yoga classes for people who are finally pregnant after infertility and loss. Right. And then a little bit later, Nikki joined us because we knew we wanted to introduce Pilates. And I knew Nikki, and we'll talk about that later perhaps. And so once she was kind of ready to get back to work a little bit, I reached out. And so Nikki now teaches our Finally Pregnant Pilates sessions, which is just amazing because people are just, with Nikki and Sim, people are in the safest hands. Aww. And it's just incredible. Lovely. I'll stop now.
And Nikki, come on now. You've got to, you can join in now.
So as you said, my name is Nikki. I had my own journey to having my son Jaden, who is now 15 months old. And it took 4 years and surgeries and procedures and a whole lot of things happened. But we're really lucky and we're really fortunate and we're really grateful to have him healthy and happy with us. Yeah. And I think, you know, like during my pregnancy, like what Kat said, you kind of go through infertility hoping for those, you know, that positive pregnancy test. And then when you get it, you're kind of like, oh, what happens now? And I think the first time that I came across Kat was when I started listening to her podcast. Because I would listen to her podcast every single day when I went to work while I was pregnant. Right. And it literally helped me get through. Because although I'd had a sister who had been pregnant, I had so many friends who had been pregnant, there was an element of my pregnancy that nobody could understand unless they'd been through infertility. And it was just amazing to have her podcast. And I was following her on social media and just like taking in all this information, realizing that I wasn't alone, because there were so many women feeling the anxiety and the worry that I was. So it was, it was just such a useful tool to have during the pregnancy.
Lovely. And
one day she put up a post about getting people to share their stories, and that was it. I was just like, I want to do this. So I reached out to her. I think it took a little while because I had some complications during the pregnancy. It took a little while for us to actually get together and speak. And the first time I spoke to Kat, I was just like, I just love her.
Likewise.
There was just something about her that just, she just understood, and it felt so comfortable and so like safe to speak to her. And then, yeah, from that, I shared my story on her Instagram, which was an amazing experience because prior to that, nobody knew what we had been through to have our son. So it was almost like a little bit of a coming out, which was very scary because at the time, I think I was about 18 weeks pregnant and I was still going through complications. And there was part of me that didn't want to do it because I was thinking, what if something happens? But yet there was part of me that wanted to kind of share my story to show other women that they're not alone. So I thought, no matter what happens, let me just share my story. Let me be happy in the moment. And for that day, I was pregnant, which is something that we always say. So yeah, shared my story, been in touch with Kat like throughout the pregnancy when I had Jaden. And then I can't remember how long ago it was, July.
Yeah, I was going to say, did we start them in July or August? Maybe, so maybe we, yeah.
Something around there. Yeah, and she reached out and she was like, do you want to do Pilates? I know you're still on maternity leave, but, you know, when you're ready. And I was just like, yeah, I'm ready. I'm just ready. I'm ready to go. When can we do it? Next month? Like, I was just ready to go. Lovely. And haven't looked back since. It's amazing. It is, it's just really safe. And in the beginning, we do like a little check-in, which is so lovely, where you can literally just say how you're feeling, whether you're feeling anxious, you know, like, oh, I've got a scan this week and I'm worried. Mm-hmm. And you're with women who just understand you and just kind of hold you in this safe space.
Yes.
And also she mentioned the amazing Sim writes affirmations for each of the sessions. So at the end we have a relaxation and affirmation section, and it's so amazing because literally you're sitting there with bump, it's your time, and you're just reflecting on really positive words, just relaxing, just taking that moment. And yeah, it's just, I just love it. It's amazing. And throughout all of that talking, I've got to say, I'm also a midwife. So from a midwifery, maternal and a Pilates perspective, it all joins together in the classes. And it's just amazing. I just love it.
How do you get them to come to your classes? What do you do?
Often people find us through Instagram. So either with my trying years Instagram or we've got a finally pregnant Instagram. It was all together, but just at the end of last year, I separated it out. Right. So people can come and follow us at Finally Pregnant. The podcast, you know, even though I'm not in a series at the moment, I'm hoping to bring out a new series a little later this year, but people still find through the podcast. I have written for people's books. There's a podcast called Big Fact Negative, and they had a book that came out quite recently, and I wrote a part in that about being finally pregnant and the kind of emotions you find around that. So lots and lots of different ways. I think a lot of people recommend us because they have such beautiful experiences with Nikki and Sim, and you know, they just want to share, like the trying to conceive community. Like when you're trying to conceive and you can't, There's such a stigma, there's such a shame around that, and a shame that I kind of miss that gene, you know. I don't know how or why, but I actually find it incredibly liberating talking about it. And this was before I'd had my daughter as well. I just thought, you know what, I had unexplained infertility. This is not my fault. I am not causing my body to lose pregnancies. You know, this is not something that I am doing. This is a medical issue, and infertility is a medical diagnosis, you know. And I think that people, so it is quite a lot of it is kind of undercover, and Instagram is amazing for that because there's this enormous community there, but people can be private if they want to, and get involved or not, or have anonymous accounts, that kind of thing. And I think that there's a lot of recommendation that goes on there because we are really tight as a community, you know, and we do understand how each other feels, you know, at different stages. And so if you know, it's like anything, you know, if we can recommend things that would help them, then that is exactly what happens. So we have an amazing community out there. It really is very special.
I was going to ask, actually, doing it online, they can do, a lot of them have their babies with them, or you know, pregnant women obviously are pregnant, but for those postpartum, how does that work?
We don't do postpartum yoga or Pilates. I think a lot of people love it and want it, but it just, it doesn't necessarily, I think that actually then you have your baby and then you kind of think, how am I going to do this? Which, right, to be honest, as a mother of a two-year-old, I have only recently started exercising with Ren in the room, you know, because I just thought, you know what, I'm not going to not do it anymore. And she joins in and it's fine, but she's 2.5, so it's, yeah, slightly different. But for people who are finally parenting, they can become members of the Hangout. And we do have a really thriving, actually, parenting support group that we run once a month. And like I said, kind of podcasts aimed at people who are finally pregnant and parenting. So there is that kind of continuation, yeah, of that sense of community, definitely.
I think it's important, really, in a way, that women, whether they're pregnant or not, get that kind of, it's funny because even though we talk about pregnancy, it's just women in general. Women just need to be cared for. And I just find that online, since this, you know, the last 2 years, you really get to understand how women think. Well, I do anyway, just by looking at how they write things and the words that they use. But then I have to tell myself that, I have to ask myself, what frame of mind am I in, or what kind of emotions are coming up when I'm reading something? Because I could actually be reading something negatively when it's actually positive. And I do find that, you know, the female world is so sensitive and vulnerable, whether pregnant or not. And it's knowing how to connect with them, so that they feel good, they feel cared for, they feel special, you know, they are acknowledged. And I think what you're doing, whether pregnant or not, really helps to enhance that. I mean, is that how you think it could be for you?
Yeah, I think just especially with the community, we kind of, what can I say? From being there myself, it's really difficult. In right. general, as a woman, a working woman with yeah. a busy life, it's difficult to take time out. But especially in pregnancy, I think it's vital as a way of connection to your baby. And sometimes when you've been through so much to finally be pregnant, you almost build a slight barrier with that connection because you're worried about something going wrong because it's right. taking you so long to get to this place. You almost don't even want to consider yourself a mother at that point because your baby's not in your arms. And a lot of the women that we see have lost babies at different stages of pregnancy, and it's just really difficult for them to take that moment. So I think with what Kat does and with, you know, the classes and the Hangout, it gives them that opportunity to almost be safe to do so. Like in that hour, in that session, you are a mum and you're reminded of that through affirmations and through the way that other women are speaking. You're reminded that at this moment, which is a saying that I hear so much through the community and I love it. I hold on to this saying, especially in pregnancy. Today I am pregnant, or today I am a mother. And it's just living in that moment. It's just being mindful in that moment that we can't change what's going to happen tomorrow. But right in this moment, it's you and your baby. And let's just take it in. Let's just try and enjoy it as much as we can, regardless of what's happened in the past. So I think it's vital to have that. Our outlet is amazing, obviously, but it's vital to have that space. And I think it's self-care in pregnancy.
I think when you use the word safe, it mm-hmm. really is important. And your circle seems to be a safe place for mothers, women to be able to come and express, share without feeling judged, exactly. without feeling criticized. and knowing that who all the other individuals in that circle feel the same way. So there's trust all round. And that is so important, because so many of the women that maybe you come that connects with you may be judged by others. And so naturally they won't open up. But now they've found a space where they can, because they know they won't be judged. And it does make it so much more pleasant for them to be able to, in a way, live life. Because if you're being constantly judged or doubted, or, you know, it actually stops you from living to a certain point. And I mean, I've not experienced what you've both experienced, but I try to put myself in the shoes of someone who has walked that road, to try to imagine, what do you go through? It's mentally draining. Whether you're pregnant, it's a mental draining aspect, because you're always thinking, what's going to happen tomorrow? What's going to happen next month? What's going to, you know, you're hoping to get to that 40th week. So if that's what happens when someone's pregnant, what happens when it's for someone who's trying to get pregnant? It's, you know, you can't, unless you walk in that road, you can't imagine it.
You really, and it's so generous of you, Delia, to kind of say that, and you try and put yourself in people's shoes. And I think that that's like, just speaks volumes to your empathetic nature, you know, and there are lots of people out there who are like that, but then there's a lot of people who don't know. And, yeah. And, you know, the community sometimes don't talk about it. So how can other people know? And so there is like this huge piece of work just trying to break down the barriers and the stigmas and the silence around infertility and loss that needs to be done and is being done slowly but surely. But what happens is it makes us so much more insular. And then, like I say, we have this amazing trying to conceive community. And what can happen sometimes when you get pregnant is then you have survivor's guilt, because a lot of your friends are still trying. So you don't want to complain about pregnancy, because pregnancy is hard, isn't it? You know, and it can be really hard. So you don't want to complain, because you know that they're not there yet, and you feel like guilty for complaining. You don't want to celebrate, because you don't want to kind of appear kind of quote unquote.
It's such a thin line.
It really is. And so that's why it's so important. And going back to what you were saying about kind of being able to do things online, I think you're absolutely right. And we do need to be careful that we don't isolate ourselves by doing everything online and you know, like how we read things or not being confident enough to speak on a Zoom call or that kind of thing. However, the amazing thing that's come out of everyone kind of moving online, albeit, you know, kind of we're moving out of that now in some cases, the amazing thing is it's enabled these kind of communities to kind of, you know, and this course, we wouldn't be doing the finally pregnant Pilates and yoga sessions, I don't think necessarily, had it not been because of the pandemic, because we can do it online. And you mentioned globally earlier, you know, we have had people from the States join us, all over Europe and Ireland and obviously in the UK where we're based. But anyone, literally anyone can join, as long as the time zones work. That's the only caveat. But it just means that this community, wherever they are in the world, can tap into this support when they're finally pregnant. And that's, you know, so yeah, you're right. We need to make sure that that connection is real and that we are connecting and supporting each other as women. And that can be now pursued online as well is just incredible.
Yeah, I just think it's something that's really important. And to be honest with you, in the last 2 years, so many things, obviously because everything was online or still is online, you know, people have opened up their businesses and organizations and charities to help so many. And the thing is, it's made the world seem so small, because you'd be there thinking, oh, I've got to get on a plane for 8 hours. And then now all you've got to do is click a button and you're in Austria, click a button and you're in the US, click a button and you're in Africa. You know, it's just so amazing. it's so beautiful as well to be able to learn the different cultures, because I don't know whether or not, you know, you say you're connecting now to people internationally. I mean, do you have any ideas of what it might be like in other countries of women trying to conceive?
I think, so especially in our classes, we do sometimes end up having discussions about the differences between antenatal care in the UK and other countries, especially if we've got a woman from another country, she's sharing her experience.
Yeah.
So that's really enlightening as well, because it's totally different to what we're used to. So that's quite lovely to hear. And also just, I think, in general, kind of cultural norms and things like that also come up. Because I've had a lady who, I think she was in somewhere in Europe, and kind of you get to pick a private midwife and you have to pick your obstetrician. And it was just really interesting to hear the differences, whereas in the NHS, generally, you don't have that choice.
No, you don't.
Yeah, so that, I think that makes it really interesting.
Well,
hearing different
I just, what you're doing is beautiful, because like I said, it's an area that there's a very thin line when it comes to infertility and women trying to get pregnant. Just like, you know, women who are having twins, that's a niche. Do you know what I'm saying? But it's knowing how to delve into that and tap into it, where women who are walking that road do get to connect with others, and it can feel like a family. So, you know, Kat and Nikki, oh, you're best friends. Why? Because of a particular thing. Mm-hmm. And you're both very much in tune with each other based upon that thing. Whereas I've never experienced that. So unless I get to understand through you how things are, how they go, what you think, how you feel, what circle of individuals around you respond to that, it can never be appreciated. So doing this, I think, really is something that is sorely needed, because so many women are still struggling. You know that, don't you? Because yeah, you're going down that road of having to speak with individuals possibly who are still trying their best. And how do you relate to the partners or the husbands of women that are, you know, going to, because obviously it's, you know, once again, we always seem to focus on the woman and not talk about, well, how is he dealing with this? So do you get connected with the father to be, if they are now pregnant, or the partners and husbands? Do you have a connection with them?
It's really interesting that you say that, actually, Delia. So just a couple of weeks ago, we had a podcast recording, and Hangout members can join that live. And we had Matt, who's a male doula, and he spoke, and he was focusing predominantly on the fathers, the partners, and making
sure
that they, he's over here.
What's his name?
Matt. I'll send you the details. Okay. It's the _male_doula.
Yeah.
And she, on Instagram. I just assume everyone knows. but so he spoke, and what we did for that recording was we invited partners to join. You know, I'm going to make a massive sweeping statement here. And even in my household, this isn't necessarily true. So I know it's not always the case. But as women, we do often talk and we do often reach out, do often share our experiences. And often as men, they don't, you know, and they don't open up necessarily. Like I say, my husband is amazing at opening up. So I do know that that isn't always the case. But over the years, I have definitely seen people within, certainly the trying to conceive, the infertility community, encourage them to talk. And there are groups out there where men do get together and talk. What we're going to be doing now within the Hangout, because we had this conversation in this week's Finding Pregnant Support Group, is maybe every couple of months, maybe invite partners to join us, or on my Finally Pregnant Instagram, I'm going to try and get a few more men talking and doing lives with me. Because even in the conversation with the Hangout members, they were saying my partner might come to that group, but he probably wouldn't say anything. So I'm thinking maybe it's less pressure if we do it live. Because I'm also conscious that as a woman, I'm not necessarily the best person to lead that group, because do they want to talk to me? You know, they probably want to talk to another guy if they're going to, or, you know, another partner. So it's a really, it's something that we absolutely need to, you know, be aware of. And I'm really pleased that you've raised it, you know, because we can't just, because we've tried and it hasn't worked, it doesn't mean we can just stop trying. You know, I think that in trying to encourage partners to be more and more involved is just imperative, really.
I always say it takes two to tango. Yeah. So in pregnant, when a woman is pregnant and she goes to her appointment, the husband may come and then he's sitting there and the doctor's focus or the midwife's focus is just on mother and baby. And I'm thinking, so why haven't you asked questions to the partner? Because he's her first supporter. He's always there when she's vomiting, when she can't sleep, when she can't eat, when she's got a craving. He's the one that's got to go out 3 o'clock in the morning and get that Kit Kat for her. But then when it comes to this, it's once again, it's, we understand that it's the female that carries, but it's the male that has to inject the sperm to make her do you know what I'm saying? I don't know how it sounds to you, but for me, you know, I remember one woman said to me, oh, that's really raw. And I'm thinking, well, how are you expecting to get pregnant then? I mean, you know, I just feel that men need to be involved. Men's nature is not to be to socialize in the way that women do. Anything you want to know about the neighborhood, speak to a woman. She'll get to find out everything to do with what's happening in the neighborhood. It's just natural. That's how she is. Men don't go out there asking other men, oh, how are you doing? What's going on? You know, that's not their nature. Their nature is just to maintain, provide, sustain, to make sure that his family has what his family needs. And if he has to speak, he'll speak to whoever he feels, you know, he can trust. Women are just, oh, my husband, oh, my children, oh, my home. And that's generally it. But I think with what you're doing, men need to be, I think they need to be spoken about so that we as a society understand it's not just the female that suffers in this way. It's the male as well. He's wondering, is it my sperm? Do I have enough sperm? Is it, do you know what I'm saying? And I think men need a circle where they can share those sort of things, because there's a lot on their mind as well. I just think it's sad when we just say women, 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 and not think.
And COVID highlighted that as well, didn't it? You know, with pregnancy, your partner wasn't allowed to come in with you. And I remember for my own pregnancy, that first scan, you've been there, that first scan, I was terrified because I'd already been told that I've got a high risk of miscarriage. So the first scan, he couldn't come with me, and that already, your anxiety is already
really high.
He couldn't come. And there were complications, you know, and I was having to have extra scans, speak to consultants, and he wasn't allowed to come to see his baby as well as mine. And that was really difficult. I think my husband's a man of few words. He doesn't necessarily express himself as much as I would, but I think it was just difficult in general. At the same time, he was trying to be this supportive person and not show his concern. And it was only after Jaden was born
that I said,
you know, how did you feel about everything? And he was like, I was just worried about you, and I was worried that you would lose the baby and how you would cope. And he said all these things, and I was like, I didn't even realise.
And that is another thing as well, the fact that in pregnancy, because I recommend, and I recommend this to you both as well, to write the birth story to your children, to your child, all right? Mm. Don't dismiss it. You know how you felt, you know what you went through, put it in writing so that your child appreciates what you went through. Yeah, mm-hmm. It's one thing just having your child and saying, oh, it was lovely being pregnant with you, it was lovely the birth, that doesn't mean anything to a child. When a child hears or can read from the age of whatever, and you're saying, dear Ren, dear Jaden, you're not going to believe this, but when I found out that I had conceived with you, it made my world, my whole world turned around. You know, put it on paper, not even, yeah, you can put it on the computer, but put it on paper. Have something like a book that your child can read and say, wow, is that what you went through? Is that what you felt? Is that how you said things? But seriously, every birth that I have experienced, I've told a couple, write a birth story. And what you just said, Nikki, not understanding, or not so much not understanding, but what the missing puzzle to your picture was your husband's view, your husband's understanding. And what I say to the couple is, when you've done your birth stories, both of you, read them to each other. And then you'll find out how much you both missed with each other. Even though you were together, you could be together 24/7 for those 9 months. I can guarantee you there's things that you've missed that you didn't realize were happening in that time, which will give you a totally different perspective of each other. Yeah, because you are now new individuals. You're no longer the single cat, the single Nikki. Nope. You're now totally, totally, totally new individuals because you're now mothers, because you're now parents. Yeah? So write your birth story. Write your birth story. Don't let those years go by and then all of a sudden you're no longer there and then your children are thinking, oh, what happened when I was pregnant? What happened? No. Write it from now. Write it from now. And if it turns out to be a journal as thick as a Bible, fine, let it be that thick. The whole point is that your child or children will be able to say, this is how my parents saw my coming into being. Do you know what I'm saying? Because that is what it was. I mean, to have to struggle in this way, I think it's something that needs to be written. I don't think it should just be, you know, most of us who are just, we just get pregnant. Oh, you know, we're pregnant, we've had our children and that's it. But when you've had to fight and you lose and then you gain and then you lose and then you gain and then you gain and then you gain to the point where there's a child in your arms, you have to write. You have to write. I recommend that. I do.
That is, like, I'm really lucky, I guess, because I've got the podcast, and I did on Ren's first birthday, I published an episode that was about her birth story. But even so, you know, will the podcast be there when she's ready to listen to it? I don't know. You know, everything moves so fast, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. So I really hear what you're saying about writing it down. And I think I hadn't thought about that with my husband writing it down, but I do know that there were experiences for me, our birth was like massively romantic. I absolutely loved every moment of it. Had an amazing midwife who was there through like kind of the majority of it. There were a couple of things that were got a bit hairy and, yes, and that kind of thing. It wasn't all smooth sailing, but overall, it was heaven. For my husband, there were bits. And when he tells me his version, mm-hmm, I'm like, oh, really?
Yeah.
And actually, he ended up being quite traumatized by some of the things that happened, whereas I was like, yeah, it's all good, it's all good. So, like, actually thinking about him writing the whole thing down, I think that would be fascinating. Like, even to me, never mind for Ren to read, I think it would be fascinating. I actually think that it would be quite a difficult thing for him to do, kind of to face it and to relive it. And so I think that would be quite difficult. But I don't think that that is a reason not to do it, because I think there's some healing in that that could be
achieved. I was just going to say that you're also debriefing yourself. And there is a healing, you know, because like I said, you're a part of his puzzle. He's a part of your puzzle. You are both a part of your child's puzzle. Yeah. So it would be good to have do that. And it's not something that you do instantly. It's something that takes time. So, you know, oh, it could be once a month. You both sit down and you say, do you know what? I think it'd be good for us to kind of do something, you know, and just do it. If we're doing it online for women to be able to do Pilates, to do yoga, to do counselling, then why can't we do it for ourselves in-house? That also helps others, because you'd be surprised if you said that to your women now, they, are you okay, Kat? They would then more likely want to go home and do the same thing. Yeah?
Because I think we might pop that in an email to them. As a recommendation.
That's an idea,
yeah. But I've been doing it for over 20 years, and I'm telling you, I still have loads of birth stories in on another computer that I've just kept, you know, and once in a while I read them again, because I was a doula at that time and my perspective, my view was totally different to theirs. And when they read what I had written, they were just wowing, because they're thinking, is that how you saw it? And then they started talking to each other about what their views were on what they were going through, what was their experience. Men need to be able to share. It doesn't have to be with the whole world. It can just be with you. But they do need to share it. And you do need to help them extract it as well. Because trauma is not good. It's not. And I'm learning that. And I'm, you know, I've gone past my 60s now. And I'm still thinking about what it was like having my child, my children. You know, it was traumatic for me with my son. I actually was put to sleep. So I have no clue about what happened with the birth of my son. Nothing, because I was put to sleep. I just woke up. I had a cesarean section. Just woke up and he was there. How do you, and people think, oh, but that's not trauma. No, it's trauma, because you had no connection. You had no experience of what it was like to give birth to your child. You know, so yeah, I think it's something that what you're doing, it's sorely, sorely needed. And I do commend you on that. I really do commend you on that. It's beautiful, absolutely beautiful. And I can, international. I'll just let women know. I'll let women know about this one, definitely. You know.
Thank you.
But really, yeah, so that. It's pregnancy. What is it? Pregnancy happening? No.
Finally pregnant.
Finally pregnant.
Yeah.
Please let everyone know how they can contact you, because I want to make sure that they know where you are.
They can find us on Instagram at Finally Pregnant. And I am personally also, I'm trying years, as in they were trying years and we were trying for years. And then my website is catstrawbridge.com. And then Nikki is, I'll hand over to you.
Oh, yeah. I was like, you can get me through cats. So I've also got an Instagram of at health coach Nikki, which is kind of, it has kind of finally pregnant Pilates stuff on there that I post on there. And then more kind of intimate about raising my son after infertility and a bit more about my story is at All About Mrs. Q on Instagram.
Lovely. I think it's something that, yeah, it needs to be put out there so that the way, you know, we can get more and more. Because if it meant that you could maybe even have other women that possibly you trained that could do something, you know, because they may not necessarily want to be able to do it online, but they may have a hall or a centre or something like that and think, you know what, we could do something in this area. So it's good to have it put out there. But thank you so, so much for spending just a little bit of time with me, because we've been connecting a lot, but not being able to get this lockdown. And you know, look at me using the word lockdown, but yeah, locked down. But no, thank you so, so much, both of you, Nikki, Kat. It has been lovely just to have this little time with you so we can try and put it out there and get other women to understand that they're not on their own. They're not on their own. And you have a circle, that a space that they can enter and feel safe, feel secure, to be able to talk, to cry, to rant, whatever. But thank you once again, both of you.
You have been listening to Pregnancy Without Fear podcast with me, Delia Mohammed. If you want more information from today's episode, you can find our show notes page at www.pregnancywithoutfear.com. Your vote of confidence and support means the world to me. Thanks so much for listening.